Hello everyone, thank you for joining us on Talking Europe and Happy New Year to all our viewers and listeners. 2025 will be a busy year for the EU as it embarks on a new political cycle with all of its institutions renewed, but also somewhat divided or dispersed. This January saw a change of mood with the rotating EU presidency shifting from the controversial leadership of Hungary's Viktor Orbán to the classically pro-EU focus of Poland's Donald Tusk. His agenda emphasizes support for Ukraine. Well, to talk about this, we have with us today the French ambassador to Poland, Étienne de Ponsat, who's been based in Warsaw for a year and a half. He was France's top diplomat in Kyiv when the war broke out, and he's written a book about that experience, At the Heart of the War, published by XO Editions in France. He's very familiar with the European Union and the inner workings of Brussels, and he's written books related to that subject. Ambassador, thank you for being on the program.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
So let's start with this passing of the torch from Hungary to Poland. Does that change much for the rest of the EU, do you think?
Yes, that changed much. And this is good news for Europe, because we go to a pro-European presidency of the EU held by Prime Minister Donald Tusk. And to be perfectly frank, we will not regret the Hungarian presidency.
What was the main problem, do you think, with those 6 months?
More or less, as in football, a game, the Hungarian presidency play its own game and not collectively. And with the Polish presidency, we expect the country to be really European and to play its role, which is to aggregate all the position and to defend a united EU position abroad and inside also. And the moment is also important, because this will be the real start of the new commission with Mrs. Von der Leyen, and they will send their first strong messages regarding their program for the coming years and months. So this is a key period, clearly, this first semester of 2025.
So a pro-European presidency combined with a European Commission, which is actually fully formed and working now.
Yeah.
And on Donald Tusk, of course, when he came to power, pro-European forces across the EU were very much hoping that Poland would, according to them, come back to a central role on the European stage diplomatically. Do you think that has actually happened? Do you see any concrete signs of that?
Oh, yes, definitely. There was really a great change between the government of Donald Tusk and the previous government from the peace, from the far right of Mr. Kaczynski. We came from day to light, night to light. And it's clear that the new government is really pro-European. He wants to make the EU domestic policy going forward, and on Ukraine, which is the main topics for Poland and for Europe at this moment, he's a staunch supporter of Ukraine, and they want the Polish government, they want to really to push in the right direction. And we are very much aligned. I mean, the French government, French authority, we are very much aligned with the policy, with the agenda of the Polish presidency. So it's really good news for Europe, but also for France.
Speaking of France and Poland, there is this format which France, I think, considered to be somewhat dormant during the previous government, which is the Weimar Triangle of France, Poland and Germany. We know that those three foreign ministers are planning a trip to Washington soon after Donald Trump comes into office. Do you see a revival of that triangle, or is it difficult because of the political problems in France and Germany?
No, definitely. We have seen last year, and we will continue to see a real revival of the Weimar Triangle. And this Weimar Triangle is also based on a revitalization of the French-Polish relationship. We are in a very good mood since Mr. Tusk is in power. He has very good relation and long relationship with President Macron. President Macron was in Warsaw the 12th of December, and they have confirmed that we are going to sign a new, very ambitious bilateral treaty between France and Poland, which is going to be signed in Nancy, because Nancy has a special relationship with Poland, historical relationships. And so, yes, we are also on this, on a very good trend, and very good trend and tendency, because we do need a very strong European Poland in the difficult world that we are living in. And we count a lot on Donald Tusk himself and Poland as a country.
And Poland, of course, is the top spender on defence in terms of proportion of GDP across NATO members. And it's trying to go up to 4.7% spending this year in 2025. But I think you are perhaps slightly sceptical about how quickly we will see the effects of that within the Polish military and the broader defence questions.
The more on this, really, Poland is a benchmark for Europe, because their ambition is clear. They have stated that they want to increase their defence. They want to double their military forces. They are quite a lot of challenges, because when you buy a lot of military equipment, you need then to make the training, the maintenance, and so on. So there are many challenges, but the road is clear, and the objective is firm. And we are very impressed by the determination of the Polish government to rearm and to reinforce collectively the defence of Europe.
And when President-elect Trump says NATO allies must spend 5% of their GDP on defence, I mean, even Poland doesn't reach 5%. What do you think he's trying to set up here? Because to me it sounds like he's trying to justify something, you know, oh, well, they didn't spend 5% on GDP, therefore I'm going to do X, Y, Z. Is that how you feel about it?
And Donald Trump, I have no special information, and I suppose that nobody has. What is important is, I think, is to coordinate as Europeans, and this is what we are doing very actively at all levels. There were different meetings. As I've said, President Macron was in Warsaw, and they have a lengthy discussion about how to handle and how to discuss with President Trump in the next days. There will be this visit to Washington of the three ministers of foreign affairs very soon. The important point, I think, is to be coordinated between among us, and this is also the will of the Polish presidency on that. So we're very supportive of all those efforts.
Having said all that, there are concerns about long-term EU support for Ukraine, because for the first time at the ambassadors' conference that you attended, which was of French ambassadors, obviously, the French President Emmanuel Macron invited Ukraine to hold realistic discussions on territorial issues. How do you interpret that?
I interpret that in the in the continuous line of the speeches of President Macron on Ukraine. He has always said that it is for Ukrainians themselves to decide when and on what conditions they will enter into negotiation with Russians. Of course, the day when they enter negotiation with Russia, everything will be on the table. So he has not said anything very new from my perspective.
But when he says realistic discussions, does that not sound like Ukraine has to entertain the idea of giving away territories?
I would not go that far. I just saying that everything will be discuss, which is normal when there is this kind of negotiation. It will be very difficult. So, but once again, it is for the Ukrainians themselves. We have been very clear since the very first day. This is for, and to decide for their future, for their country, and what is the best. And only they can decide what is the best for them.
Ambassador, this year is a crucial one for elections across the EU. We've got obviously a major one in Germany in February, but we also have elections in Poland later on this year, and in Romania, a rerun of the presidential elections. Do you think Europe is ready for the sort of hybrid information war that we are almost certainly going to see in all of those elections?
This is clearly a concern for everyone. Now, for several years, we are facing a very difficult hybrid war in all aspects, in all domains, including information. And I am myself well placed to have experienced this hybrid war in the informational domain. And this is something that we are now fighting for.
What happened to you terms of hybrid war?
I don't want to single out my own case, but when I was ambassador in Kiev, I had to suffer the attack on the social networks, of course. But in addition to that, one day there was a fake news saying that I have fled my posting and that I have abandoned my position, which was of course not true, but this was made on purpose, of course, yes, by some services, I would say.
Got it. All right, well, we'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Ambassador Etienne de Poncin, who's currently ambassador to Poland, but was ambassador to Ukraine when the war started, and the author of this book, At the Heart of the War, published by EXO Editions here in France. Do stay with us. We'll be talking in part two of Talking Europe about the big challenges facing the EU in this year of 2025 with my panel of guests here in our Paris studios. Do stay with us.